to Market Unplugged, a CNBC TV 18 podcast.
You're listening to Markets Unplugged. I'm Santosh Nair, and I have with me, as always, Prashant Nair, National News Editor, CNBC TV 18, who will tell you about the big moves in the markets this week and also what are the key things to keep an eye out for next week. Prashant, thanks for joining in.
Thanks very much, Santosh. Thank you.
So, Prashant, I'll start with the U.S. markets. I think that's what seems to have investors across the globe worried, specifically the rising inflation in the U.S. Now, what is the reason for that, and what do you see as the likely implications for India?
So, you know, this is the big worry, and the debate is whether, as the Fed is calling it, this is transitory or this is more structural in nature, which means that it will last for a longer period of time. And, you know, inflation, of course, is rising around the world. But I think there is a particular focus on U.S. because of the importance of the dollar and the, you know, other channels via which that flows through to the rest of the globe. And I think it's pretty obvious that U.S. in terms of large economies is growing gangbusters. So there is no doubt that that is the hottest economy in terms of growth. So, yeah, I mean, there is worry. But I think for now the Fed has been very clear, absolutely clear. We've heard from more than a few Fed officials and voting members as well since that data came through, that they will look beyond just 1 month to decide on whether sort of to reflect this data in terms of monetary policy action. So I don't think anyone expects the Fed to do anything about, inflation. And the headline number came in at 4.2% year on year. By the way, Santosh, I also went back and looked at history, basically three instances over the last 25, 30 years when headline CPI rose sharply, you know, in the range of about 150 to 250 basis points. And I looked at in all three episodes, you know, how did equity markets behave? The developed market, I mean, I looked at S&P 500 and I looked at the MSCI Emerging Market Index, which sort of is a representation of emerging markets. And the data actually is pretty clear. Equities do well. And by the way, all three instances were periods of demand-driven inflation. I mean, not a cost shock like the oil embargo of the 70s. But, you know, this is reopening in large economies around the world post-COVID and inflation as a result of it. The economy running very hot and inflation picking up. So this is demand pull. And in all those three instances when inflation shot up, equity markets did very well. S&P 500 was up anything between, you know, 25% to 45%. And interestingly, emerging markets did even better. In two out of those three instances, MSCI did much better than what the S&P 500 did. So I don't know how much of a comfort that is, but this is start to end data. What happens, you know, in between, of course, there can be a lot of volatility, etc. But this is from start date to end date for those three periods.
That's an interesting point you make, Prashant. So if one were to use the past as an indicator, probably this could throw up some good buying opportunities also.
Looks like it. I mean, so there will be periods when markets will sort of go through self-doubt, whether, you know, inflation at more than 4%. And by the way, I mean, if inflation indeed does stay above 4%, that actually may turn out to be problematic. We'll just have to see if this is just 1 month as of now. But there is no reason to suspect that this may not continue for at least a few months more. And as you say, I mean, the market may at some point panic as they do. And with the historical data in mind, and by the way, Santosh, those three periods were also periods when Fed was actually increasing interest rates, right? I mean, it was not as if the Fed was sitting on the sidelines. So the Fed was responding. We just have to see. Right now, we've had the best of both worlds for a while now. But I think now with inflation shooting up and whether the Fed reaction function will come into play, so far they're saying not. I think it's interesting times.
Thanks, Prashant. And one more, I think, interesting trend in today's session. You saw mid-caps taking a bit of a knock. Now, so far they have been outperforming the Sensex and the Nifty. Is this some kind of a trend reversal or how are you watching it?
You know, they've done very well. So if you look at the mid-cap index, the mid-cap index is up 17% from the beginning of the year. This is YTD. If you look at the Nifty in the same period, it's up 5%. I mean, if you look at the Nifty, sort of the small cap part of the market, that is up 24% year to date. again 5% for the under 5% for the Nifty, and these indices have made new highs. So I would say the point is, you know, even though the Nifty on days was not doing well, the broader markets, as characterized by mid and small caps, were doing very well, and that gave the confidence that there was enough buying interest from all kinds of investors. You know, it's kind of tough to say. It's just one day, or that's this Friday, we've seen cuts. I mean, 1.5% cut on the mid-cap index and a similar cut on the small-cap index. It's tough to say. It's just, I mean, if this is reversing. You know, there are. I would say there are other signs which, especially on the global side, in the U.S. Market side, which I think give us some cause for concern, because, I mean, the run has been pretty good in the context of the underlying conditions that we've had. Pretty much, you know, the majority of all states are under some kind of lockdown restrictions, etc. But so in the face of it, markets have done pretty well.
Also, Prashant, since you're speaking about mid-caps here, now, when the economy is under pressure, typically it's the smaller companies which tend to bear the brunt. So any indicators on how the earnings season has been for most of these mid-caps?
You know, fourth quarter has actually been pretty good. We're only talking about, you know, mid-caps of a certain size and above. And, you know, we've been speaking with managements across the board and results have been pretty good. But, you know, the point is that there was no second wave in the fourth quarter. Things were running pretty smoothly and things were coming back on pretty strongly. But across the board, when we speak to managements, they all say that, yes, April and 10 days of May that we've seen so far, 12-13 days of May, there has been a slowdown. We, for example, spoke to a company called Westlife, which runs the McDonald's franchise for, you know, the South and the West, mm-hmm. the country, mm-hmm. and they're pretty confident. Growth in the fourth quarter was good. The one messaging I think which stands true for all the companies we've spoken to has also been that, you know, the economy is in a way kind of much better adjusted to these lockdown-like restrictions as compared to what the situation was last year, you know, online channel, etc. One will have to wait and see how long this lasts, because, you know, the sense one gets is most believe that in the next 2 weeks or so, things should go back. I mean, this wave should peak and things should actually start to reopen and we'll go back to normal. I mean, with that in mind, the commentary has been, you know, not bad. Cautiously optimistic, even. But if this does last for longer, then I mean, I'm sure things will change.
We also saw a big sell-off in metal stocks today, Prashant. Particularly, we saw a sharp dip in Tata Steel. How is that space looking now?
It's again, I mean, a question of huge outperformance, Santosh. Tata Steel, I mean, stocks like Tata Steel, and it's the poster boy. It's up 75% from the beginning of 2021. You know, over the last 1 month, it's up 10%. On Friday, it's basically finally started to see reversal. Actually, not just Friday, it started on Wednesday. Thursday was a market holiday, and then Friday, the correction continued. So I would say it's possible with this kind of a run-up. There is a little bit of letting off of steam, which happens, and, you know, prices drift a little lower. I mean, but I would still say that these are companies dependent on, you know, underlying commodity prices, and mm-hmm. that in turn is dependent in large parts to how the world economy is doing.
Okay.
And I think the world economy is doing, I mean, pretty well. US, I mean, a lot of Europe, China, I mean, the situation is very unlike what we have here in India. So there could be some sort of correction, some more drifting, because prices have barely come down. I mean, for the week, Tata Steel is down 4%. That's it. So there could be some more, and I'm talking about this entire pack, JSPL, JSW Steel, etc. But I would say it still remains a bullish sector from a medium to a slightly longer term perspective, given that the outlook for underlying commodity prices itself remain pretty strong.
So, Prashant, now there seems to be some concern on the market as a whole, given the unfolding global scenario, particularly with respect to the inflation in the US. Now, we did see cyclicals, commodity stocks, infra stocks having a good run-up. Now, where this uptrend to come under pressure, do you see interest shifting back to defensives?
It's entirely possible, Santosh. So, because, you know, if you contrast what's happening here in India as compared to, you know, US, etc., the contrast can't be starker. I mean, in the US, for example, we have now guidance from the CDC, which says that fully vaccinated people don't need masks. And I mean, the economy is really opening up there and in other large markets as well. Whereas here, we are still in the throes of this large, huge wave, second wave. We've just heard from Mr. Arora, part of the sort of, vaccines task force here. We had him on the channel on Friday, who said that vaccine shortage will last for 2 to 3 months. So this problem and this new cycle about shortage of vaccine is not going to go away anytime soon. I mean, at least for the next 1 month, it's here to stay. And mind you, even with all of this difference and sort of, the virus and vaccine narrative being very different here as compared to the rest of the world, I mean, the market here has not hugely underperformed the rest of the globe or anything of that sort. It's actually held on its own pretty good. I mean, it's fair to ask the question whether if this is now going to be a little prolonged, and eventually the realization dawns that it's not, I mean, the wave may pass and cases may start to fall, but unless there is a large amount and speedy vaccination, I mean, things may not go back to normal pretty quickly. So in that light, I think, things may be a bit slow and investors may want to play it safe. I would say it's still the same kind of sectors, it's global cyclicals, I mean, commodities, which are directly related to demand conditions in the Western world, China, et cetera, which are strong. There is IT, which is, again, derives a large part of its revenues from the U.S., although, I mean, that sector also started to get impacted because operations are getting impacted because of the number of cases amongst employees, et cetera. There is pharma, where there is, for example, we got this numbers for the month of April, very strong domestic sales growth. For pharma because of the COVID second wave. There are also a couple of vaccine stories which we discussed last week. I mean, Dr. Reddy's, Cadila, etc. So I would say these are the three areas broadly where, if risk aversion were to set in, once again, people would flock to and try to hide.
Okay, Prashant. And what are the key triggers for the market in the short term?
I think in the very near term, it's going to be if cases start to fall on a consistent basis and optimism starts to grow that, states will start to reopen and that visibility starts to come through. That may sort of drive some amount of optimism. But I want to go back to the point, which is the fact that, you have to have the pace of vaccination pick up. Because without that, and I made this point last week as well, the young have been affected, unlike in 2020. In 2021 and this wave, I mean, 18 plus people have been impacted quite a bit. So unless and until you're able to vaccinate a large number of these people, it's unlikely that the consuming classes in that sense will go out without worry and, consume, spend, do business, travel, leisure, etc. So I think, it's a bit of a interplay between the waning in terms of new cases, but at the same time, the pace at which vaccinations can happen. And I think as we've heard from the government, at least for the next 2 months, there will be shortages.
Well, Prashant, on that note, thanks for sharing all those insights with our listeners. Dear listeners, thank you for listening. And that's all that we have in this edition of Markets Unplugged.
Thanks very much, Santosh. Great to be here.
Thank you.